Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome back to another exciting week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name's Rich. Wow. I'm back.
You're so back.
Just for 1 week, though. Don't mess with us. Are you going to be back next week?
Hopefully.
And the week after that?
Hopefully.
All right. Have you quit that stanky job yet?
No, I'm still there. I just have managed to not work Tuesday nights.
Sweet. Are you wearing a Thundercat shirt?
I am, indeed.
All right. That makes it okay, then.
Ara's wearing a pink ribbon.
So this is the...
I'm confident enough in my masculinity to wear a pink ribbon on my
t-shirt. And dots on your forehead.
Yes. Oh, you have noticed those dots, haven't you?
Is that what they are?
Yes.
Because there's a bunch of dots on your forehead.
Perhaps you guys would like an explanation of these dots.
I already guessed what it was.
I'm sure our listeners are very intrigued.
So obviously listeners can't see, but my forehead is completely filled with dots.
Colored dots.
Just
make it look like
Well, there's
a
some... missing.
Yes. Well, just hours ago, my entire...
Hang on. I really have to complete the experience for the listeners.
All right,
before
go for
you
it.
Explain it. It's not just some dots on his face. It's like one of those rub-on tattoos that has been rubbed off partially. and the rest of his face appears to be covered with some sort of light makeup that makes me wonder if he's wearing makeup or not. And I say this because his lips look so very luscious and smooth and so close to his normal skin tone that he must be wearing some sort of makeup. And he's smiling far too much for Ara. And I'm thinking perhaps you also got your eyebrows done, but I don't know for sure.
Well, I mean, I have to admit I do feel very pretty right now.
Okay. So that's good. So now that I've included that image for our listeners, maybe you should explain to us what's going on.
Yes. Well, not only was my forehead covered, but actually my entire face was covered with these dots down to like the upper eyelid and yes, the lower eyelid.
Indeed.
Sweet.
Everywhere, right? So.
Because it's awesome.
I was visiting my friends over at Captive Motion.
We've had them on the show before, yeah? They do facial motion tracking.
Yes, they do some very, very high tech stuff, right? And they said, hey, Ara, do you have some time tonight? And I said, no, I have my show. And then they said, well, why don't you come on before the show? And I said, okay, well, you know. Sure, why not? Anything for my friends at Captive Motion.
I appreciate the invite, so thank you.
So, it was a last-minute thing.
Oh, no, I understand. That's always how it goes.
And they said, game designers only. So
yeah, sir.
I'm sorry for that.
No problem.
But,
Lick my ass.
they asked me to go on to do a little, like, promo for their technology while they captured my face.
Mm-hmm.
So, I basically told, you know, whoever they're going to do this for, about how awesome and cool Captive Motion is for game designers.
Heck yeah.
And okay. So maybe one day you'll see, I'm going to get pictures so we can put them on the website and everyone can see me with all these ridiculous dots all over my face.
Speaking of the website.
Yes.
What a good thing to bring up. We're in the midst of this All Games Network contest.
How's that contest going?
Well, we've got three submissions. We finally got Penn's submission. We got... two other submissions, which I'm going to try and play here on the air for you. I actually don't know if I can play Pen 15s because I'm pretty sure it has a swear in it.
Not surprising.
Yeah. And I told him, if you want me to play it on the air, just give me an edited version of it
right,
so I can play it. And I'm not positive because, honestly, the audio is actually much worse than his normal efforts.
Yeah.
I can't tell necessarily what he's saying, but I'm afraid that the FCC might decide that he said something that we can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's not going to get played. But the other two submissions will get some airtime today. And if you go over to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com, then you can link over to the poll that we have and vote on it. And then at the end of the week, the best entrant submission or entry, however you want to say it, from the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show will go against the best entries from all of the other All Games affiliates. And then one of those people will be the grand prize winner. And get themselves an Xbox 360 Elite with Grand Theft Auto 4 painted on the side or something.
Woo.
Then some other stuff. So I actually want to play those. Maybe we'll save those to the second segment. Also, would love to make today a caller-friendly show. If you want to call in and sort of spend our time dealing with caller questions rather than our own topics, feel free. 866-536-1100. I know we've got a couple of people who listen to the show all the time who want to call in, and we sort of cut them short because we just don't have time. because we're just blabbing on too much. So again, 866-536-1100. We'll do our best to get to you today.
It's kind of like Rush Limbaugh's Open Lines Friday.
No,
he
does not
once a week.
Except it's Tuesday, and
well, we're only on Tuesdays,
and we're not jackholes.
Yeah, so. Let's try not to copy Rush Limbaugh.
All right, so one thing we were talking about last week was this difference mm-hmm. between American and Japanese game designers. And I don't know if that's something we want to get into right away, but I know that that's a topic that...
There's some more I want to talk about that. There's also more about GTA 4 that we didn't get to.
Ooh.
Particularly regarding the GTA 4 in the press. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you also see, Rich, that they're releasing a song pack for Rock Band for the PS2 and for the Wii?
Yeah, I saw that. They're releasing it in like disc format, which would make you happy because
yes.
you don't like, oh, it's downloadable. It's not real
well,
unless
it's
on a disc.
I like downloadable from a disc. That's
okay.
actually the best option.
Well, see, that's the thing that's weird, though. If it's on a disc, like you have to put the Rock Band disc in and then take it out and then put the bonus disc in.
No, what this is going to be...
is it just a whole new game?
Well, I don't have confirmation of this, but essentially, yes, that's what it'll
okay.
be. Okay,
because you can't save all of that.
Judging on how the Dance Dance Revolution and Beatmania games worked for the PlayStation, they mm-hmm. realized that, like, first they made a version that allows you to say, okay, I'm going to put in a new disc, hold on a second, let
yeah.
me get the other disc and pop it in, and they realized that actually didn't work out so well, so what they did was just recreate the whole game on a new disc.
Okay. Yeah.
They,
and so
they
you
did
be,
the former, like,
so it's
quite a bit at first, actually.
Rock Band 2.
Well, it's annoying, right? It's like, okay, now we put this disc in. Okay, now let me put this disc in.
Yeah, that'd yeah. be terrible.
It was a pain. So basically, they just put the whole game on there. They might take out some features of the game or just make it a whole new game and just not sell you peripherals in the package, right?
Yeah, if it was just like Rock Band
but
expansion.
The key here is they talked about how, oh, it takes so much time and effort and money to make these songs. We can't charge less than $2 a song. And now,
but they charge less than $2 a song online.
No, they don't.
There's songs that are 80 points, which is a dollar.
Now they are, and that's only special.
Well, I'm
pricing.
Saying they sell them for 80 points, and then like $2.
They just announced that like today that they'll be.
They
doing
announced
some...
it months ago that they said there were going to be songs for 80 points, that just not right away.
Okay.
Rich has been busy apparently.
Not right away, and not normal pricing. It's
but,
special pricing
and then
for
when
a couple
they offer
songs a week.
Full album downloads, they're going to be $15, and that album might have 10 songs on it. It might have 12 songs on it, which is less than $2 a song.
Yeah, I'm finally happy
so
to see
you're
that they're doing
that. So if
you're
going to buy 30 songs at a time, you better not be paying $60 for it. That'd be stupid.
Well,
I can't believe you guys are having a discussion over like 50 cents and I don't care.
Well, it's not 50 cents. It'd be $60 possibly if they're going to charge
my
$2
point is
per
they're,
song.
They're charging less than $2 a song now.
Yeah,
when you're willing to buy them
good.
On disc, which means there's more overhead. They have to print the disc. They have to print the packaging. Mm-hmm. They have to move the disc around from the factory to the stores.
Yeah.
They have to give the stores a part of that revenue. They're not making anywhere near the $30 that disc costs. I question if they're making $20 on the $30 disc.
They're going to be making less profit,
far
for sure.
less. But they're still able to do it,
yeah.
is my point.
They're still able to make profit from it.
Yeah. So this whole BS about how they have to charge $2 or near $2 per song, it's total BS.
Well, that's like – it's because if you're only going to buy 5-10 songs, like you don't – if you buy the disc, you have to purchase every song on that disc.
Dude, it's the magic of numbers, man.
But you can pick.
Yeah, but there's, who cares if you only buy one song? When a million people are buying one song, it's like one person bought a million songs.
I understand what you're saying there.
Because there's
but
no overhead
it's
managing
just,
that.
It's still the price per song when you're buying more.
What
when
is
you
this,
buy in
what
bulk,
is this discussion about?
Each song is cheaper,
my complaint
basically.
Is that when Rock Band first came out and the songs became downloadable, the company was saying, listen, we've got to charge $2 a song. And we're not going to charge just a dollar. Because the Guitar Hero 3 songs were too expensive, and people were bitching about it. And so
$2 a song? That's not bad. I would pay that for a good song. For a song that I want.
That is too much.
For a single
that
song.
That is too much if you're used
but
to stealing things.
When you buy
things.
Three songs at a time, it's less than $2 a song.
Barely.
When you buy an album, it's going to be less than that per song. The more you buy, the cheaper it is
they
per song.
They argue that they need to charge a lot. And this disc production is proof in the pudding that they could charge less than a dollar a song and still profit off of it. That's my point.
When they sell in bulk.
Screw bulk! They're selling in bulk online, even when they sell a song at a time. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
We finally have the three amigos of quality radio back on the air.
I don't know how long it's going to last.
The Super Trio.
Should we call ourselves the Super Troopers?
Maybe.
I know you're a big fan.
It's an awesome movie.
So before we move on to the rest of the segment, I got to remind everybody about UAT.edu, the wonderful University of Advancing Technology, and our grand, grand sponsor. Head over there to learn more about what they offer, the degrees they offer, and the way you can enter the gaming industry. Now, we said we want to talk about Grand Theft Auto. I also said I want to play some of the audio clips that we got.
Let's give out that number again.
Okay.
Because we love to get so many calls today.
So the number is 866-536-1100. You can also find that on our website at chatterboxers.com. So let's play one clip. And then,
do it.
And then we'll do
sweet.
Do some stuff about Grand Theft Auto.
Is it going to be by a Scotsman?
Ooh. That's my computer sounding like crap.
Because Scotsmen never curse. You see how I'm able to do misdirection and keep it together while we have this horrendous
maybe the buzz will
static
go away.
On the
Dude,
air.
The buzz will not go away.
And even despite this, I continue to talk, and the listeners
stop.
Waiting for.
There it is.
There it goes.
Commentary?
But we've been told that our show is far more.
Oh,
no, I got to start this over again. This is horrible. We are a horrible, horrible radio show.
This is good radio
here.
I have to hold
this high-quality radio.
All right, here we go.
Only the best.
You are not listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio yet? What are you waiting for? We've got it all. Intelligent commentary?
But we've been told that our show is far more intelligent, and full of aplomb.
The gamut of the movie experience is much larger than I think what most people consider as like the gamut of the game experience.
Are you trying to say gamut?
Yeah.
The gamut?
Yeah. I was thinking back to, the times when I was a young lad. And, I had...
Weren't you a lad?
Yeah,
And a little lass, a girl.
Isn't it the same thing?
A lass is a girl, dude.
We've got deep discussions.
I mean, in a way, it's obvious, but in another way, I mean, it's kind of deep, too. Sometimes there's a fine line between racism and stupidity. Wait. I think you're onto something. Maybe we can correlate the angle of a player's posture with the quality of the game.
These hosts do it all for the love of the games. You think they're getting fat paychecks? Hell no.
Well, the funny thing is I have stock in both Take-Two and EA.
Oh, that's funny. I have Activision.
I have Activision, too. There's so much money involved, and that's all we care about, really.
Well, we still have a discussion of video games, which is both topical and balanced.
Maybe this is relevant to gamers because he used to be in video games because he was a wrestler, right?
So, I'll buy that.
Right?
I don't mind going off topic.
It's a bit of a stretch.
And I have to say, I rather enjoy how we can just talk about whatever the F we want. Usually, I'll spend 5 minutes and decide, oh, this game's a piece of S, and just be done with it. And I always love any opportunity I get to indiscriminately judge something.
Okay, despite all that, Chatterbox is a great show, and you need to be listening. Find them online at chatterboxers.com. Listen live and join the chat Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern. It's just got that special something, you know?
That's Zazz.
Oh.
Ara, are you going to be okay?
Oh.
You were on the ground.
I've never seen the underside of this table before.
See,
dying.
Now, that man may win a very nice prize, and all he had to do was basically play us talking.
That was incredible. That was fantastic.
That was not bad.
I have no idea I ever said any such words on the radio.
If I remember correctly, mm-hmm. that young gentleman is named John. I might be mixing him up with one of the other fellows, but I believe his name is John. We appreciate it. And again, you can go vote on that.
Do it.
At the All Games Forums, which is linked to from our website, chatterboxers.com.
You know what drove that thing home? It's that game show background music.
It was pretty nice.
That's classic.
That audio clip is considered submission number one for those Woo! Voting. But of course, we haven't played the other two, so you haven't heard them all yet.
Dude, I think that gave me like a little bit of palpitations.
Okay, so moving right along, forgetting the fact that my computer sucks and it was screwing with the audio a minute ago, we want to talk about Grand Theft Auto 4. That's a big game that's been really, that's all people have been doing lately. There were concerns, actually, that this would ruin the Iron Man opening.
Didn't ruin anything?
Iron Man dominated with over $100 million in the box office.
Didn't ruin anything.
Awesome. I managed to play both Grand Theft Auto 4 and see Iron Man in the first week, so it didn't disturb me at all.
There were enough hours in a day.
Meanwhile, I'm sure the U.S. Park Service is just completely beside themselves with
Yeah, because they missed me.
Yeah, with all these people going to the movies and staying at home playing games, they're not going to the parks.
I'm actually going to the parks this weekend, so.
You should.
Well, they'll be very happy to see you.
All right. So moving right along, what did you want to bring up? Because I gotta point out, like, all these podcasts and radio shows have been nothing but talk about Grand Theft Auto at this point.
Well, podcasters are losers, along with bloggers.
Oh, yeah. This is based on the video we were watching during the commercial. All right.
I mean, if it's said on TV, it must be true.
But don't forget, we're podcasters.
What's that? All right. Yeah, there's two things I wanted to bring up with GTA 4, okay? First one is, obviously with a game this big, it's going to get some 10s, and not because it necessarily deserves them, but just because the hyperbole machine is just, you know, it's on the cartoon, like, way past the needle dial thing, right?
Well, and because they tend to round up.
And because of that, and because, I don't know, I guess they tend to be in some bed with somebody somewhere. But here's an interesting example. IGN, it gets a 10 out of 10 at IGN, okay? If you take the scores at face value, right, and, okay, we know that pretty much every media outlet continually insists a perfect score does not mean a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
It just means, I don't know, it just means it's a millimeter away
super
from perfection.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just like it's super, super, super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine, right? But here's something funny, is that the review on IGN basically said, like, oh, we've not liked the game this good since whatever that Zelda game was, right?
Ocarina of Time.
Right.
Yep.
Now, what game was the last game to get a 10 out of 10 on IGN? Do you guys know?
I'm going to guess something after Ocarina of Time.
Actually, it was, well, I don't know, did that game get a 10?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't think it got a 10.
It deserves a 10.
Okay, you know what game got? You'll never even guess. I have to tell you because there's no way you can guess.
I'm going to guess.
You will never guess.
No.
It's Soul Calibur.
What?
Soul Calibur
Which
got a 10
one?
Out of 10. The first one.
On Dreamcast.
The first one, which was actually the second one.
With the first one, which was reviewed on IGN, got a 10 out of 10.
No. Soul Calibur.
Yeah, Soul Calibur was Soul Blade 2.
Yeah. Because Soul Blade was on PlayStation?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, anyway,
so
right?
That was the last game IGN reviewed.
What do we think about the best games ever made?
Soul Calibur's not even close to the
and
top
we,
of that
And we
list.
Look in history. Is the Soul
Through
Calibur?
Through the sands of time.
Yeah, does
no.
Soul Calibur come up? Is
does
that
anybody
what we
get
think
that reference?
Of?
All right, fine.
No,
just
nobody.
Just skip past me. I don't care.
Nobody cares, Alon. But no, Soul Calibur is not even close to anybody's top list. All right,
I'm pulling up YouTube. You guys keep talking.
All yeah. right, so that was one thing that...
Soul Calibur? Are you serious? You looked this up.
Yes, I read it on the internet.
Okay.
So it must be true.
It's not like a he said, she said, like you went
much
to
like
their
television.
Website and it told you?
It was
okay,
I didn't find any contests to it in the 5 minutes that I used to research it, so I simply assumed it to be true without,
right.
you know, unequivocally.
So, yeah.
So, okay, here's something more interesting, right? Did you guys know that IGN had an exclusive first review of GTA 4?
Yes.
Exclusive review.
Didn't know that.
Which means that
they were the only ones who could review
everybody
it
else?
Before the embargo
right.
was up.
Right. There's an embargo for all outlets, which means before this date, can't publish nothing. And then, for IGN, we give you a different embargo date. And you can publish like... And it wasn't like one day. It was like 3 days, wasn't it?
Ooh.
Dude,
that's big news.
You're the king of hype over there. You know what that's worth. You were like, oh, look at these videos, Alon. These are awesome. This game's going to be so kick-ass.
I'm all about hype.
Okay, let's not get off track, even though I like to talk
reviews
about how much you're into
hype.
I wanted to read a quote from Ben Fritz from Variety from his blog and why he thinks that this is a problem. He said, how can we trust a video game review when the outlet running it has been given a major commercial favor, one that's worth money, from the publisher of the game?
They should have given it 11 out of 10.
My question is, how can you trust a video game radio show host when he has dots all over his forehead?
Yeah. I think you
I'm
can
sorry,
trust...
I couldn't resist.
I think you can trust the 10 out of 10 because there's 50 other websites that have also given it similar reviews.
Okay, so that's not
it's
like...
It's not like IGN gave it a 10
so
out of 10.
So other people agree they must be right. It's impossible for a large group
of
people to be wrong, ever.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
you know?
Obviously you can be skeptic because they got this exclusive whatever, but when everybody else comes out and agrees that it's an amazing game?
Well, first of all, everybody does not agree.
Well,
second of all,
close. If you look at the average
of
reviews,
completely different
it's
issues.
Like 9.6.
Two completely different issues.
We have to end our argument.
This is like Argue with Rich Knight.
Before the commercials are here.
We've got to get it all in.
All right, let's get paid.
We'll be back after this. Feel free to call us at 866-536-1100.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, the only non-negligible show on the air.
We're non-negligible.
It's something that's in the forum right now or in the chat. I have no idea what that phrase is.
That means you can't neglect us. That's what that means.
Apparently.
I'm still beaming from that wonderful promo.
You like that?
It makes me so happy.
It was very much surrounding you. Now I was in it, but a lot of it was you. And
well, I do make it a point to say absolutely insane things from time to time if anyone noticed, and at least someone noticed.
I think what we'll do now is play the other clip, and this one you'll notice is regarding one of the other members of our team, and I'll try to not make that sound.
You mean that sound?
Yeah. I have to, hold down the thing that goes into my audio. Anyway.
It makes it better that way.
Here it is.
You'll notice, we just got Rickrolled.
You'll notice the audio quality is a little lower, but the content is still, I think, just as powerful.
Is it just this the whole time?
No.
It better not be.
It's parody, so the copywritten song is okay.
I'm no stranger to easy difficulty. My name is Rich, and I don't like challenges. 100 lives is what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from playing on a normal. I just wanna tell you how I'm gaming. Gotta make you understand, never gonna have a challenge, never gonna lose a guy, never gonna run out of ammo and armor, never gonna experience the whole game, never gonna see the boss, it's gonna tell me to play again on harder.
It's gonna tell me to play again on harder.
That's all.
So for those who aren't familiar with every episode of the show,
who
Rich,
did that?
Rich has said that person is named Chris. So our very own Rich has said in the past that he likes to play a game on easy. I think because
and I'll defend myself.
His middle
on
name
that.
On his license is actually Wuss. And so this is referencing
it? I need to check.
His taste of playing games on easy, which I think is ridiculous. And apparently Chris agrees with. That song even made our very own Norm laugh. Mm-hmm. And start playing music into the radio show. That was not me, for the record. So anyway, we appreciate submission number two, which you can vote on our website. And like I said, I want to play the third one, but unless...
I'm really impressed. We have some rather creative listeners out there.
They were good.
Hopefully we have more than two creative listeners out there.
Unless Pen15 can jump on the live chat and tell me that there is no swearing in it. Swear that there's no mm-hmm. swearing in his. I can't play
and,
it.
And he's going to need to send me an affidavit of when he's going to give me my song that he owes me.
For the Red Star?
We should preview that's his
entry.
I
kind of feel like a chump now, you know?
Well,
like a chump.
We've got a caller on the phone.
Ooh.
This is actually Fobo Gijo, Scott from Ontario. He's been on the show a couple times the last few weeks. He is the owner of Non-Negligible, the phrase, copyright 2008. So let's bring on Scott. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's
happening?
I copyright that one.
Can you just copyright it like that? You can just say, I copyright this, and then it's done?
Now, copyright has to go to the Library of Congress, at least in the United States.
Good luck
copyright
with that.
There's an implied copyright, but I think there's previous use, so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's happening, Scott?
Yeah, there definitely is previous use, because it's actual phrase. Anyway, I was going to talk about the Grand Theft Auto, my kind of reflection of it, sort of.
Is this a game that you've been playing nonstop for the last week?
No.
Did you go see Iron Man?
Not much comic book.
You failed twice.
Just ignore Rich. Continue.
Okay. Anyway, I see what a lot of them were saying last week that the driving is very well tuned, but he still didn't like it. I find that a lot of the parts of the game, they put so much effort in and so much time and trying to make it right. But some of the choices they make, I don't like. Like the friends aspect, I don't like being forced to do something. Like, you're trying to go and drive down the road and I'll run the cop and hear, "Hey, cousin, want to go to a gentleman's club?" And I'm like, "Oh, come on."
Well, so, you don't really have to. You don't have to follow the missions in the game. That's one of the things that's great about the game.
You don't want to go to a gentleman's club. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's only one club in the whole game. There's only one.
Only
club.
One?
Only one.
That's like
in the entire Liberty City.
According to the map that comes with the game, there's only one. Because
wow.
I was feverishly looking for all of them.
In a city that big, there can't
there's
just
two,
be
actually.
One.
There's two, actually. I was looking at one. There's even another with, one in the last dial.
Even with two, that's like a lot less than in most cities. So this is a very kid-friendly
in that
game.
Size
that's
a
lot
city,
less
there
than,
should be like
every
27
in Phoenix.
That's
if
right.
Not more.
Actually, you're bringing up a kind of a good point. There's one little rant that I had a little while ago where people seem to think that the game is targeted toward kids, and that like Take-Two is just trying to go and get the teen market. But
well, I think that a lot of people just make the connection that just by virtue of being a video game, it's necessarily marketed towards kids. But go ahead.
I know, but the thing is, if people realize when it was released after university got out, and well, high school is still in, so it's like, who do you think your demographic is, right? So.
It's a tenuous argument at best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be in the new
game. The game's definitely not realistic if there's only one gentleman's club.
Apparently, I was corrected there.
Or two. That's still not even close to realistic.
So moving right along, do you trust the reviews put on by places like IGN who, you know, have reason to inflate their ratings?
Now that you know that they've had an exclusive review, which like doesn't happen in any other industry.
No, in other industries they just make up reviews and slap them on the sides of posters.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't quite necessarily. Frankly, I would say it's a good game. I wouldn't personally say it's my favorite game. However, I would probably give it like. Near, if not a 10 out of 10, if I were to review it.
But do you trust IGN?
Well,
like, let's say you haven't even played the game before. I mean, like, do you care about what IGN says, especially knowing that they get dibs on reviews?
Not really, no. It's not so much about getting exclusives, because a lot of industries actually get exclusives, not necessarily on reviews, but...
No. But reviews are very different to get exclusives on, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Thank you, Rich.
Nice. That's good. So, we're only on the air. Don't mm-hmm. worry about it.
That's cool. Keep eating those steak fries, dude.
I didn't eat any steak fries.
All right, so we've caught our listeners. We've caught our listener off guard here with questions
he's
that he clearly
so
doesn't
confused.
Want to answer.
So yeah, it's not so much I don't trust the review. It's just that
it's okay. Nobody ever trusts reviews. Nobody pays attention.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just that
you know, we do our
well,
own thing.
People, somebody does.
I promise, Scott, I'm going to let you speak for 30 seconds without letting these gentlemen
interrupt
you. Please go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's just that, I just don't think that review numbers don't really affect me that much anyway. I always read the reviews, like the wording of the reviews, because, Ara was saying a couple of weeks back, it's kind of hard to pitch in something and let alone... shrink it down into a single number score, so it's more. It's like at least giving a bit more detail as to why people think it's good or why it's not good would be a kind of good. Because if it says like, "Oh, I love this game. It's full of escort missions." Well, if I hate escort missions like everyone else in the world, I would steer clear of that game no matter what the score is, right?
Scott.
Yep.
Will you join my army?
All right.
You have an army.
Just say yes. Just say yes.
Army? What?
My army.
Sure.
All right, we're,
yes! We have one soldier!
We have to end this. I'm sorry. okay.
Okay.
All right.
Seriously, this has gone downhill way fast, guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry for leading the troops down there.
No, that's not you, sir.
It's R's fault.
Not you at all.
Blame it on R. He has dots on his forehead.
Excuse me, you can call me Brigadier General, thank you very much.
Brigadier General has dots on his head.
What? So you called in to talk about Grand Theft Auto 4. We got you off track asking about the review. What is your main concern about this? Remembering, of course, that Grand Theft Auto 4 is the one thing that everyone is talking about these days. I'd love to get something.
It's weird because they actually put so much effort into it, and you can't, like, I kind of appreciate all the effort they put into it, even though I prefer a lot of our design choices that were made in Grand Theft Auto 3 that were kind of dropped from Grand Theft Auto 4. Like, I prefer to go and be able to go and say, you know what, turn my cell phone off and just chase some cops around all, like, for a good period of time, instead of having to go and wait and be, like, sidetracked by missions. And I seriously think that they actually wait to see if you're going to be close to a save point, because it seems like whenever you get close to a save point, that's when the phone always goes off. So I'm thinking they're trying to keep you playing the game. But,
well, that's an interesting decision.
That's funny.
I think one thing they noticed was that in the previous games, people did decide that all they did was run around for hours and hours and decide, oh, wait, now this game is boring, because that's what I did. I would roam around and enjoy the game, but then decide before actually getting into the story of the game that I was done with it, that there was nothing more interesting, because once you have the fun of driving and jumping and killing people, who cares if you put that in the context of a story? I've already done it. I don't care if now you're directing the plot. I'm done killing people. And it had a very short shelf life for me.
Still felt repetitive. The enjoyment I pulled out of the game. Right?
Yeah. It got repetitive very fast.
It's kind of common in game designers where they go and try to take away what you're having fun with before you stop it so it doesn't get boring, and that way you always have a drive to keep going back. Like in Halo, where they go and give you a tank mission for 10 minutes and you want to play it for 11, but no, they pull it from you right just before you stop.
Oh, that's the concept of suspense, man. That just keeps you wanting more.
It's kind of like a drug dealer, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
then there's also taking it a bit on, which I think they did.
Thank you for the call, Scott. We appreciate it. And thank you also for the wonderful people submitting audio clips for the Chatterbox contest. Chatterbox and all games. We'll be right back with the last segment of the day.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm your host, Dara.
And I'm Alon.
And I'm the dude in the corner.
That's Rich. Now,
Rich the argumentative one.
We were just informed of apparently an
time
FCC regulation stuff that none of us had any idea about. Apparently, we can totally swear if it's after 10 o'clock.
Really?
Or maybe it's like certain...
And since most of our listeners are east of us, and therefore it is past 10 o'clock, I say it's okay that we swear right now.
No, it's got to be in the area of the licensee.
In the area of the licensee.
Well, then, I don't know.
Man, we got to change our time slot. That's what we got to do.
In 8.5 minutes, apparently, we're allowed to swear. But that's when the show is no longer on. So I think what I'll do is I'll put the third submission, which is from our very own Pen15. I'll just inject that into the podcast. So, you know, pretty much all of our listeners will hear it, with the small exception of the few listening live. And so... you'll still get to hear it. I'll just throw that in at the end of it.
Using the song Injector.
Yeah, something like that. It'll just play at the end of the show. So you'll get to hear all three during the show, which will be good.
Woo.
Because there's still some question about whether or not there's swears. I tried to play it for Norm during the... Anyway.
Just put it on the podcast. So, it's safe.
So again, I'm going to remind everybody about our wonderful sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology. Head over to uat.edu to learn more about them. Last segment, we had a caller, Scott, talking about Grand Theft Auto. We kind of got off track. I apologize, listeners, for that. He started off by saying, basically repeating what I said last week, how, you know, he understood what I was saying about the cars. Like, they put a lot of effort in. You could tell that the car mechanics
were... I think I know why.
How malleable these young men
they're,
are.
They want
they're
to
very
stuff?
Likely planning... Oh, well, I'm saying, like, the car driving stuff is done well because they're probably going to be using the same engine, the same similar controls for the next Midnight Club game. It's just my assumption.
I don't think that really
what?
Has much
Where
to do
did that
with their decision-making
from?
In Grand Theft Auto 4.
Are you kidding me?
If the driving...
No, the driving is hard to control.
Why would they use the mechanics of a GTA game in a straight-up racing game?
I don't know. I'm just saying they might.
Well, if you don't know,
it might be
sure,
bad.
Throw that out there.
But
is it just because they're using the same engine?
Yeah, I'm just saying they're using the same engine.
Rich, are you like one of those kids in high school or like in grade school who is like... Oh, yeah, my friend in Japan got Super Mario 13, and I played it and, like, spread that rumor.
No.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, everyone knows about there's always that one guy spreading that rumor, Super Mario 13.
But I'm just, I mean, would you be surprised if the driving is somewhat similar to GTA 4 when the next Midnight Club game
comes
out?
Yeah, because the driving in GTA 4 is horribly hard to control, and I think they did it on purpose so that you would knock into stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds more like Burnout.
I think Alon's correct.
Yeah. That's what I'm guessing.
I don't know.
What I was saying last week is that it seems very solid. Like, the mechanics are built well. You could tell that they put a lot of effort in, and that it acts... I don't know what word to use. Like, I don't know if it's realistic or fluid or what it is. It's not like it was just hacked together real quickly, but it's still difficult to actually control and do what you want. Mm-hmm. And in that respect, I get frustrated.
It's hard to turn when you're driving 50 miles per hour.
Maybe that's the
but
reason
like harder
why
than real life.
There are no mechanics.
Well, have you tried to do a 90-degree turn instantly going 50?
No.
Very difficult. I mean, I don't know. I haven't done it 50, but
no,
I'm saying
it's easy.
The faster
it's
you
easy.
Go, it's more difficult to turn sharply instantly.
It's easy.
No, but you're wrong.
The thing is, even going slow, like, you can't make really sharp turns at all, just because the limitations of a control stick.
Yeah.
On a controller. So, whatever. Like, I give him some leeway. And like I said, it was high quality. It's just still difficult
all
to
right,
control.
I want to talk about something else now that Rich
Let's
is
continue.
Here.
Okay.
So I just got reminded that you
dots
only
on your forehead?
Choose to play easy games, and you have no conception of challenge in a game.
I've been playing normal.
Before you even start, we were talking last week about the differences between Japanese games and American games, and basically, don't give me the just listen.
Continue.
And how... there's actually a different mentality in arcades between American players and Japanese players. And there's a really, really awesome article, this commentary on insomnia.ac, which spells insomniac. Get it? Very clever. And it was probably one of the most eloquent expositions of basically why there's value in, if you had the choice to continue in a game, of not continuing and starting over from the beginning. And he explains how, basically in Japan, people don't continue in Japan when they go to the arcade. They just don't. Part of it is part of like the etiquette culture there, which is, well, okay, if it's game over, then you stop playing and you let the other guy play. Whereas, you know, here, we're just like, just pumping the quarters until you run out of money and, you know, screw whoever's behind you, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And the interesting thing is that there's another part to it, which is that if you start over right from the beginning, like let's say you play a game that lasts 5 minutes, right? And then you die and it's game over. Now you can continue from that point, right? But it only gets harder from there. So if you continued, your next game would only last like 2 minutes. And if you kept on continuing, you'd have to just start pumping quarters in because it's beyond your level of skill, right?
Yeah.
So this practice of just pumping in quarters is something that people don't think about. In America, we do this all the time, right? But over there, it's the other way around. They're like, oh, look, you know what? If I start over from the beginning and play again, I can get another 10 minutes out of the game, and then maybe a little more because I'm a little better, right? And so there's this kind of assumption a lot of times, which this seems to be drawn between, you know, like American and Japanese cultural boundaries, although, of course, like we were talking about last week, it's you can't totally generalize, but there's a definite difference there. There's a value. There's something about the experience of playing a game that you can only get when you're able to face a challenge and have that challenge defeat you and basically face that repeatedly and learn something and gain skill and be able to surmount that challenge, as opposed to making a game that just so easily falls by the wayside when you play through it, that you never get that emotional tension, that experience of that type of challenge. You never experience that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what do you have to say about that, knowing that apparently all you'd prefer to do is not be challenged?
Well, I think arcade games are very different than games you'd play on a home console. They're designed completely differently.
I know, but you have a pretty big brain. Figure out what I'm
talking
about.
I'm just saying, though, like, obviously in an arcade, it's going to be different. If you have a playtime and you're playing whatever game.
Fine. Like, let's say, like...
and it's like a side-scroller hack-and-slash game versus
Dude, you're totally dodging the question, dude.
No, I'm not. But
I don't even understand the question.
It's a completely different type of game. He's just choosing to fill up time.
I'm just saying I don't play those type of games typically. Like,
you don't play skill games.
I don't go to an arcade and play.
Don't think of it as arcade game. Think of it as a skill game.
Well, some skill games I play, yeah. I mean, yeah. Rock Band I would think is a skill game.
It is. It is.
And
so how
I play
that's
Rock
different.
Band on Expert.
How come you want to be challenged in Rock Band?
Because I'm good at Rock Band. It's a multiplayer game. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm good at it, and it's fun to get harder in that game.
But were you born good at it?
No, not at all. But those are the type of games that don't get boring after the first time you play the song. I'm saying, like, if I'm going to play God of War, I'm not going to play it through three times because I experienced everything that game has to offer except for making it a lot harder.
Well, that's not a good example for what I'm trying to expose.
I don't know.
We're going to have to figure this out some other time.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Please head over to chatterboxgameshow.com to link over to the All Games forums and vote on those audio clips. We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.